live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. Cofield and Company on a Tuesday. Busy, busy day on the way as Greg Salerno's in. He's the company. Griffin is running the show. Good stuff coming up. A lot more WNBA, NBA. Of course, we're going to wrap up what happened last night in the NHL. Miles Simmons is going to join us later on the NFL. And as long as our Philly guy doesn't cancel, I got a Philly guy on today for you.
Hey!
Sort of. All although right. You're not really a true Philly guy. That's what confuses me. I'm like, wait, does he like this team or not like this team? I don't know.
If it's the Eagles or the Sixers, yes.
Right.
But, you know.
Well, we're also going to talk some Phillies because Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
They're having an awesome season, and he's very much in line for an MVP award. Unless Ohtani gets it. Ohtani probably leads right now, but I don't know what's going to happen with the Dodgers the rest of the way. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a Vegas guy, so I root for him, you know. Want to see him. Maybe he's also in Philly. So.
He's also not a Yutz.
Right, yeah.
Which I'll bring that up again. The guy's name is John Marks, who has done Philly radio for a long time. And I remember when he had me on one time, and when they signed Bryce Harper, like, they knew him, but they didn't exactly know him. And they were their whole thing, and I think this is really important, in the Northeast Corridor of Philly, Boston, and New York, like, you got to understand the fans there. Like, Kyrie Irving last week said, hey, when I was in Boston, man, I didn't understand it. It's a cult. Not in a bad way. Like, I just did not understand it. And, back then, I think John had asked me if Bryce Harper was a dude or a bro. And I was like, I don't really know the difference, but he's probably both. I mean, the description I've heard of a dude.
Yeah.
I told him, I'm like, Bryce Harper is pretty much a dude. He's very schooled from a PR standpoint.
Sure.
But around fans and his teammates, he's going to be a dude.
I think he started out a little more bro and then became dude. If that, you know, he had the, like, you know, clown question bro or whatever when he first started out, and kind of you can see he was getting assimilated to the Philly media. But now, of course, yeah, he's got, you know, he's definitely got it down.
And at different times today during the show, we're going to talk about athlete and coach relations from a PR standpoint.
Yeah.
And I would recommend everyone goes for a PR lesson, or at least get on the phone or a quick whatever Zoom with Bryce Harper, because he's completely embraced Philly and they've embraced him, and it can go south pretty quickly. Like, it can be to your advantage. If you get along comfortable, they can read it, and then you're going to get eaten alive if you don't produce.
Yeah, well, Mike Schmidt produced and still got eaten alive. I mean, yeah, Philly's a tough place to play. So, yeah, they like the attitude better than they like the performance. It's weird. Like, I mean, you can – he's obviously performing, but there's guys who, like, you know, the Eagles fans love – who necessarily weren't the best players, but they had that, you know, dog mentality, whatever they call it. Then there's guys who did produce, but they just didn't like him for whatever reason, and they ate him alive, like you said.
NBA draft's coming up. I don't know if teams – they should in certain markets, if teams size a guy up on his personality. Because I want to talk Paul George later on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Paul George is for Philadelphia. By the way, the NBA draft, I think I said yesterday, was Thursday. I'm so accustomed to it being the one night. They've now stretched it out to two nights. So tomorrow is the first round. Thursday's the second. They're going to try to make – because the second always kind of just disappears
right
into the late night. And sure. Everyone's like, oh, no one gets picked in the second round. So I think they're going to try to – you know, that day break between the NFL first, second, and then day three, there's like a lot of hype and best player available. Maybe there's a little time for the teams to stand back and marinate, think about – possible trades, because a lot of the trades happen with current players and maybe second round assets.
Also, I think this year's a little bit different for one reason.
Yep.
Bronny might be going, you know, and they want Bronny to be in prime time if he does go in the second round.
So Bronny and Rich Paul really need to go in the first round. Rich Paul needs him to go in the first round because he said he will not sign a two-way contract. What we need as basketball fans, and I want Bronny to do well, I think he's a deep, deep sleeper prospect, and I don't the sleeper I'm being a little too strong on.
Sure.
He should not be a first round pick, but they've sent this thing out there trying to kind of orchestrate, like, hey, basically he ain't gonna play for you if he has to sign a two-way contract, which I want to see this put to the test. I want to see a top 15 second round team go, yeah, we're taking him.
Right.
No, we're not giving him we don't have to give him a one-way deal. He's gonna get a two-way deal. He can sit out, go play in China.
Yeah, I mean, he does have like the, you know, the 3-and-D maybe kind of player that guys look for now? Maybe you don't think so.
He's 6'1". That's
no,
problem.
But I mean, he's very athletic. Well,
how many 3-and-D point guards are there?
That's true. You're right. But I mean, he can shoot and he can play defense. So I guess I don't know. I mean, he might not be a wing.
He's not. And forever, he's listed at like 6'3", 6'4". They measure him. He's like 6'1".
He's like 5'10".
Yeah, 6'1 and a half, which he's explosive. You can see he's a big, strong kid. He can jump. But he can't shoot yet. I don't think he can play the point guard yet. He is a G League prospect who you would plan on maybe he's ready in 3 years. But Clutch Sports is going to flex their muscle. By the way, we'll get into this as well. They're going to flex their muscle a lot in a lot of areas. And I just wonder when someone in the NBA is going to be like, nah, guys.
Yeah.
This area, you've overstepped, and maybe it's Lakers roster or it's going to be Bronny to which team. They have a lot of power, Clutch. Probably too much.
Well, yeah, but he had like that heart scare last year, so I'm not going to take his college career, you know, too. I think that he can shoot. He showed in the combine he can shoot, and I think he can, you know, he had like a 40 something inch vertical. I mean, he's really athletic, so I think that he could add something to a team as a role player, but yeah, I mean, he's not going to be a first round pick, I don't think.
Anytime the show starts out with something that's sort of irking me, I try to delay the irk because I know what's coming.
I could tell you were kind of in a bad mood already anyway.
No. Don't ever judge me before the show.
Okay.
John Von Tobel will tell you.
Yeah.
There are days I walk in and everyone's like, oh, boy.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
What the hell is coming? Well, first of all, it is. I don't complain about the heat, but it is pretty sweltering.
It is.
I know coming in, our building struggles a bit in the studio,
uh-huh.
And we have 500 people in here, and we're all 200 plus pounds. I'm being nice, probably 225 plus,
yeah.
And the body heat builds up. So I was listening to or talking to Huff, who's over on comp in the studio right behind us, and he's like, AC's out. And I'm like, I know it probably is struggling. So that kind of –
all right, that's fair.
That set me off. And then Griffin knows. We get into the studio a little bit late. I'm kind of regimented, so.
Well, that's what I was hoping
I'm
it was.
Good.
I was hoping it wasn't like, – I was hoping it wasn't never, something I did or something because
no.
I was like, oh, man.
It's never you. No, Griffin's a joy to work with. He's been great so far. He's embracing a lot of the things we want to do. You know, it's funny. Yesterday we were talking about the show, and we've had a bunch of different people kind of filling in and serving the company role. And Griffin asked me, he's like, how close are you and Salerno? Like, how long have you known each other? How much had you talked before you started doing shows? And I'm like, never. I'm like, literally, maybe. I don't know. How long have you been here?
It's my 8th year.
So, I'm serious. I've probably had a conversation beyond 2 minutes with Salerno 5 times in 8 years.
Yeah, usually like a Christmas party or something.
That's it. We don't see each other.
I know. Yeah.
So he was like, oh, you guys get along well. I'm like, well, he's a radio guy. He's a radio guy and he likes sports.
There you go. You know? That's perfect.
Dude, we're both dudes. We're bros. I don't have to have that explained again. All right, so I'm not truly in a bad mood, but I will say last night I really did want Edmonton to win.
Yeah.
People on the show were calling me anti-American. Whatever. I think the Oilers fans and Canada would have appreciated the cup much more than the, 23,000 hardcores in South Florida.
Sure.
And the other, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand are like, oh, our hockey team won. And then by Friday, they're like, whatever.
Yeah.
Canada's been dying as a country, and I know everyone doesn't root for the same team, but you kind of come together in this case because as a nation, it's been 31 freaking years.
If you're a Knights fan, are you happy or sad? Because it kind of makes you look better that you beat them last year a little bit, you know. But then you're also like, we didn't make it, out of the first round and they won. Are you mad that they won? I mean, I'm saying not you, but as a Knight.
I mean, if I were my attitude as a Knights fan, I would probably dislike Edmonton.
Yeah.
You know, they're one of the main competitors, so
sure.
You don't want them to win. And we'll get to Connor McDavid. I think he's a crumb.
Yeah.
I think hockey is so screwed with him as one of their lead guys. But yeah, I came in yesterday and I'm like, I want Edmonton to win. Plus, I actually grew up in Florida for a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Screw Florida.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Totally.
On so many fronts. And what did I say at the start of the show, right, Griffin? I said, if you're a good fan, it's a raucous night. It's Game 7. There is no respect tonight. There is no, yay, let's all bond together as hockey, maybe after the game, as hockey fans. And we heard Alanis Morissette in the building doing the Canadian national anthem. I didn't know if she was doing the U.S. She did both. And I was like, yeah, if I'm a Florida Panther fan in the building, because I know there's going to be some Oilers fans here, when they start to freaking sing the Canadian national anthem, I'm booing. I don't know what this respect is. It's part of the sport.
boo the freaking crap out of the anthem. Sorry, Alanis Morissette. Yeah. Here she is, and you can hear the Oilers fans get louder and louder, and there was a little smattering of boos
right.
from the Panthers fans, but sadly, there were so many Oilers fans who got in the building for a freaking Game 7 that it actually sounded, she sounded good. They're like singing a little bit ahead of her. Like, where are the Floridians? What are you doing?
Oh, Canada, our home and native land. True patriot love in all of us command. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for
thee. 80% of the building, it sounded like, was from Edmonton. It's 3,500 miles away.
That didn't even sound like her either. That sounded terrible. I don't know. That was an imposter. I don't know.
I watched both because I'm really big into national anthems. I like the Canadian national anthem. She was pretty good on the Canadian national anthem.
Yeah.
She got, you know, whatever. I can't sing, so she got a little pitchy. You know, you watch all these
sure.
shows. And she was, like, breathy, but that's, like, a nerve-wracking thing. The U.S. national anthem, she was, you could tell she was kind of gassed. But the cool thing for the Oilers fans is they just picked it up. They were singing ahead of her pace-wise. They're loud as hell, and the Panther fans were like, mm. And then after that, they're like, oh, we're going to sing the U.S. national anthem. Too late! You needed to boot them out of the building! Point proven! You're not great hockey fans!
Hey, you know what's crazy is, I've been living in a hotel recently, and I was actually at a bar, like, over the weekend, and I met a guy who's a professional poker player from Canada, and he was here for the World Series of Poker. Anyways, talking to him, I thought it was like a stereotype, you know, Canada, hockey, all this stuff, and we were talking about sports, and I said, man, you know, is NFL big there? He's like, oh, yeah, it's huge. And I was like, you know, NBA? He's like, yeah, not as much. I was like, hockey? He's like, dude, hockey is like a religion. It's like by far the biggest sport. And I didn't know. And he's like, he was telling me everything about hockey, every player, everything that's ever happened to Edmonton. I mean, the guy knew it. It was like an encyclopedia
they love it.
Of
it's
hockey.
Their sport.
Yeah.
And that's why I was kind of rooting for him. I got a lot of pushback yesterday, like, oh, screw Canada. I'm like, well, one, the league needs Canadian teams to thrive.
Right.
And as I said, they need Canadian stars to not be humorless personality, you know, non-personality guys like Connor McDavid. But yeah, I guess congrats to Florida. They have some good stories on that team. We'll talk about Tkachuk a little later on. But, you know, the other thing that is jacked up, or maybe they have it right. It's something we can examine. The Conn Smythe Award for the player of the entire playoff series. It's not just the final series.
Huh. That's interesting, though.
Do you like it?
Yeah, that actually is interesting.
So if you're Connor McDavid, you help lead the Oilers to the Stanley Cup Finals, you help bring them back with some monster games and some blowouts, and then in Game 6 and 7, obviously you're playing good hockey, but you don't log anything on the stat sheet.
Sure. Yeah.
You're cool getting – and the winning team didn't have the best player in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, I guess so, because there's been times where I thought, like in the NBA Finals, that the losing team had the best player. You know, I mean, sometimes it wasn't even close. So I could see that. I could see how people would be upset that a losing team won it. But I do like the fact that you go the whole playoffs, because sometimes a guy will have one good series and then you don't hear from him again, you know. So if a guy at least has, like, you know, two good series and then a couple good games in the finals, I'm better him winning than a guy who just had one good series.
All right. We'll get into the discussion later on if the NBA should change over to a player of the entire playoffs. And I have a feeling people's heads – it would be great for the talking head shows.
Oh, yeah.
They would go crazy. All right, so late last week, I saw a really good text because I agreed with it. But it basically said the Celtics championship at the beginning of the week last week, Celtics championship has no aura to it, no juice. It was Friday, and it was like there were five stories that
yeah.
the Lakers were already had passed it by, some WNBA stuff. There are other stories that already passed it by.
Oh, dude, it was 8 hours. Yeah. What's his name? Had a concert in L.A. that was bigger than the
Actually,
championship.
That was the other thing mentioned is that I think it was an L.A. person, too. They're like, which maybe not objective because they hate the Celtics like we
sure.
all do. But
it was Kendrick Lamar. That's who it was.
Yeah. The title had no aura. And by the end of the week, Kendrick Lamar, his show,
yeah.
and the Lakers coaching search had completely passed by
yeah.
a team winning, an organization winning an 18th title in their league.
Right. They had rival gang members on the same stage, hanging out, dancing, and nobody cared about the Celtics anymore. I mean, this is like the next day. I think it's great, by the way.
Why is this happening? Because I also think this Florida, one, because Florida has no hockey fans.
Yeah.
This Florida Cup victory will get like a day or two.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll go back. Beginning of the baseball season, someone was talking to me about the Rangers. Maybe the Diamondbacks were mentioned. They're like, oh, yeah, World Series. I'm like, oh, that's right.
Yeah, you're right. It's star power, though, man. That's why. I mean, if you don't have
Connor McDavid's one of the top five stars
well,
in all of hockey.
I'm, well,
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown is the best duo.
Yeah, but see, I was going to bring up Jason Tatum. Jason, first of all, that team is not like a star power team, though. It's like more like a bunch of pieces team.
But that plus they're the Celtics. That's not enough.
I don't know. And Jason Tatum, I don't know if you saw the mashup of him being corny and copying all these other people that had already won the championship. I think people just disliked them. I don't know why.
Well, I think that's where – I think a lot of this is we're so hyper into social media.
Yeah.
And it's been an era for like 15 years of being on social media. And I saw some people defending Jason Tatum like that's what he's viewed in the sports world. So all those moments in the past, like Kobe holding the trophy a certain way or different people, like that's how he's learned sports. So you mimic some of those moves.
It looked like he had practiced it, though, like he was going to do
he was
it.
Thinking about it?
Yeah. It looked like he was in a mirror for a while before the game.
Is it one of those organic engagement photos that we always say?
Yeah, exactly.
You're out, way out on the beach?
Right.
Perfect picture? Right at the right time?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Wait, was that a – did you set up a tripod and schedule it? Oh, you had someone with you when you surprisingly got engaged.
Like when he threw his head back into the Garnett thing, it was like so exactly the same. I'm like, dude, come on.
Okay. I will make the argument that, and here's a good tweet from someone, NBA has had six different champions last 6 years. NHL, seven different champions in the last 8 years. MLB, nine different champions in the last 10 years.
That's a great text.
Someone says, a golden age of parody.
Yeah, parody sucks.
It does suck.
It does.
It does suck. And I know you're old enough to have been around during dynasties.
Yes.
And what did morons say during dynasties?
Oh, this is we can't have this. This is terrible. We need more parody. This is unfair.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or the old excuse that owners love, like, we can't compete because of money.
Right.
Oh, the little guy can't compete.
Yeah.
Well, now you can compete. If you don't compete for championships now, your owner sucks.
That's
your
exactly
owner doesn't
it.
Try, or they're buffoons. But all of those people, and I know you love to go back to this era, and I was doing sports radio at the time, Bulls, oh, this is so boring.
Yep.
Oh, it's fatigue. We need parity. Everyone's got to have a chance to win. Well, now we have it.
I know.
Now we have it, and no one cares about a title outside of that market. Like, 2 days later, parity blows.
It's awful, and as a Yankees fan, I can remember the same thing. When they were winning all those championships in the 90 from 95 on, oh, man, it's unfair. They spent so much money. Now every team spends more than – a lot of teams spend more than the Yankees, and it's parity, and it sucks. Parity sucks. You need a villain.
For the most part, it does.
Yeah.
And I actually – you know the funny thing is? The NBA is friggin' thriving off it.
Yeah.
They just hauled in $7.1 billion in a new TV deal. You know who's not? Now, they're making money, and baseball makes its money. But I'll tell you, in terms of the interest, I think the NHL is kind of flatlined. Like, there's been some progress. I mean, we just found out 3 months ago, they basically just closed up shop with a team, and they're like, they're going to move to Utah. Like, kind of mumbled it up, like, wait, you're just pulling a franchise? Like, there's no announcement? Just in the middle of the night? You know, city's losing its team?
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Parity. The NHL needs us, first of all. Everyone hates the Golden Knights. The NHL really needs, whether it's the Panthers, maybe the Panthers and the Knights need to meet up a lot the next couple of years. Or the Knights, I don't really feel like people have some hatred or affinity for the Panthers. I think there are a lot of people out there who hate us.
Yes.
Who hate the way the team was built. Who hate the way Vegas got the whole thing together so quickly. But all of these sports, but especially baseball, I think baseball needs a dominant team that's winning most years.
Yeah.
A villain.
Yes.
Like it's The Dodgers are very good, and the Yankees are there, but you know the cheap bastard won't spend to go over the top.
Right, right, right.
I think all sports right now, you listen, I was here taking your calls 25 years ago, and you guys all wanted parity, and now I look around social media, and 2 days later, no one cares about who wins the title. It has freaking no legs in the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball. By the way, you know who has legs? And it's also the king of all sports? The NFL. Why? Because the NFL had the Patriots, and now we've moved on to the Chiefs, and we all hate the Chiefs.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
It's raining! Run outside! It's raining! Just to cool off a little bit.
Can we open the window or something?
No, can we open these windows?
Hey, Griffin, throw a chair through the window over here or something.
It's actually not bad right now. We always have a little trouble. The AC unit for this studio and comp next door gets a little hot when it's real hot out. So right now it's 80.4 in here.
Is it really?
Yeah, you want to make a prediction? We got a little fan running. You want to make a prediction on end of show temperature with, oh, I don't know. I'm looking at you. I think we're at 790 pounds in studio. So
I can't do the math, but probably.
What do you think? With 790 in here, yelling like I just was.
Yeah.
Exuding heat and our musk. What's the, that sounded sick. Temperature by the end of the show. Right now, actually, no, it's going down.
Okay.
It's 80 degrees.
Well, there's raining, so it's going to cool off a little bit. But,
oh, yeah.
But the body heat. Are we going Price is Right rules?
Oh, have you been over?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I'm going to go 82.1.
I'm going to go 82.7.
Damn. You are going. You pulled a Price is Right on me anyway.
I think you're right, though.
You think so?
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think it's ever recently. It's never been 83. We have a wonderful building. It's older. It's only like 25
yeah.
or it is, but it's maintained nicely. But we did have a case last year. You remember we had a Johnny on the spot behind the scenes guy,
uh-huh.
Jamie, who was great, really pleasant guy.
I mean, yeah.
The AC was out in here real badly. I think it was last summer.
Oh, it was way worse than this.
I walked in for a show, yeah. And I swear to God, there was a swamp cooler with a hose hooked to the ceiling. And I'm like, I'll do the show like this. I mean, it was loud.
Dude, last summer, we didn't have the tube.
The swamp cooler.
We didn't have the tube or any of that stuff. It was like a tropical rainforest in comp last year in the summer. It was bad.
It gets steamy.
Yeah. This isn't bad, though. This is fine. I'm fine.
Now it's going down. What the hell's going on here?
It's raining.
Man, that is amazing. The building is cooling because of the rain. It just went down like a half a degree. This is nuts. All right, I want to do a giveaway right now. 364-1100, 364-1100. Let's give tickets to Blink 182. Blink 182, T-Mobile, couple of weeks, July 3rd, AXS.com, AXS.com. Two tickets, caller 7, 364-1100, 364-1100. We're about 15 minutes away. We're going out to Philly to get some updates on Bryce Harper, and also Paul George is probably the biggest name right now who is going to be truly available in a sign and trade. So that's coming up in just a little bit. But the beginning of examining what happened yesterday in the presser, because I think a lot of people saw J.J. Redick cussing and they liked it. I see a lot of guys who are my age, and they're completely outraged over the bad language.
3 seconds to go!
National guy on ESPN, getting all fired up. Exactly, crank it up. Credit to NHL 94. I know there's one credit. The old video game was 30 years old now. I can do math. Salerno's here. I hear Sean McDonough's a spitfire. He and Gruden didn't get along. Yeah. I don't know exactly what the problem was, but we had some early impressions yesterday about J.J. Redick cussing in his introductory press conference, taking over the Lakers as the head coach. We didn't play the sound on the air. Our vast sound crew fell a little bit behind, so we couldn't turn it around. And I said I wasn't bothered by it, but I listened to it, and there's a couple things that bother me. So fire the full cut here with a little bit of the question.
What misconceptions or concerns about you that you've heard in the last few weeks are you the most like looking forward to dispelling?
I don't really have a great answer for your question because I really don't give a like, honestly. And I want my players to maximize their careers. That's all I fucking care about.
Okay, so that was kind of pieced together. Cussed and then talked for another 15 seconds and cussed again. I don't love it. Anyone who wants to respond, you can. 364-1100, 702-364-1100, Finley Kia text line. If you respond with, that's the way real people talk, believe me, my mouth is as filthy as anyone in the audience. I know that, okay? And where did I get the bad language from? My mother, who still, like, she set a record for F-bombs when I went back for her 80th birthday. She still cusses up a storm.
That's awesome.
I know that's the way real people speak. But I also, and I have rules to follow here. I don't go on the air and cuss, right? Because there's rules. I also, every once in a while, we're in front of a client. I will read the room if, I'll use this term again, if it's a male, like if they're a dude, then some cursing might come out. Listeners will tell you most of the time, I don't really curse in casual conversation with them until I decide they can handle it, right? So I have a filter and I will do it at certain times. By the way, I didn't even mention women who I'm dealing with as clients. I'm almost never cussing. By the way, this is a rule that I would follow, but I know men are going to hate this and maybe some women will as well. That was a female journalist. I would never be cursing in an answer back, but I wouldn't curse in a press conference. I know he went to Duke, but I do believe that we can hold ourselves to a higher standard and not curse. I did satellite radio for a long time, like 8 years. I was on the Combat Channel where my partners were cursing up a storm. I almost never did it unless it, you know, I really felt like, hey, now it's time to drop something. So I think there's a time and a place. Do I think he's going to suck as the Lakers coach? No. But I don't know why he felt so casual. It's a big deal, bro.
Yeah, it feels kind of, you know what an edgelord is? Edgelord is like somebody who's trying to be edgy for, and he can feel it's kind of forced, you know. It's
Really? So you don't even think he speaks that way?
I mean, he might, but he knew what he was doing, I think, when he did that. And it was kind of like, you know, I'm going to show these guys, I don't know what he was trying to do, but it seemed like it was kind of forced. I know people talk like that in their regular lives, like Steve said, but I didn't really like it. It's kind of like sometimes you go to a comedy show. And the guy just says the F-bomb like every other word. And you're like, I mean, you know, it's not necessary.
Not your comedy?
If it's part of a joke, I get it. But right. Like if it's just an adjective, after a while, you're like, all right, man, that's a little much. The crowd starts to go, yeah, uneasy. And it's like, I felt like that a little bit. He was trying too hard.
Do you think if he heard us saying this, J.J. Redick,
yeah,
how would he react? Would he get mad?
I don't give a F. I don't know. Probably.
I think he would get mad, and I think that's where the problem starts. I think he's got a very healthy disrespect for media. Now, unfortunately, he was trained in some ways around the talking head shows, around Stephen A. Smith, because he does make a reference later on. He uses a term I'd never heard before, which is really interesting. But I think he's got a bad impression of what much of the media is. But listen, I'm in an uphill fight here. Yeah. Right? Because this right now we are on a period, I don't think we're going back, where everyone's like, the media.
Yeah.
Like, not everyone is the same. Just like everyone in the audience of a certain religion or ethnicity or age. And, you know, we fall into that trap. Generalizing is real garbage. And I'd like to get that out of the way, like, right off the bat with J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
Everyone you're talking to in the audience, whether it's the media or the people watching, we're not all the same, so hold yourself to a little higher standard, bruh.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
What a day. It's 109. Greg and I both came in, and we're like, oh, man, we feel kind of sad. We're both chubby. Weather's getting on us. And then I have been bouncing off the walls. I was going to headbutt the window. I was annoyed at going to break.
Yeah.
And then I just said something, and you looked at me. You're like, Cofield, come on. Like, it was so heartless and mean. I know.
Actually,
you have it, too.
I do. But
you have it, too.
That's why I was laughing.
John Marks is a professional. He's a real radio guy. He's in Philadelphia. He's one of the kings of sports talk radio in Philly. John, how you doing, buddy?
Cofield and Company, what's up?
Yeah, I'm a jerk. Let's start with this. I actually, as crass as I can be, I was just making the case that I didn't like J.J. Redick's press conference yesterday where he's dropping F-bombs. You're a Philly guy, so I guess I would expect, like, you know, you guys aren't bothered by stuff like that. But at an opening press conference, what do you think about dropping a couple F-bombs?
Completely unprofessional, and I thought he sounded like a fool doing it. It's one thing if it slips, maybe after a game or whatever, but you have to realize that you're at a press conference, mm-hmm. and it's not a locker room, and you shouldn't be using the F-bomb. Like, I thought it was ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was completely unprofessional.
Talking to John Marks. Okay, so the Sixers, obviously, are in the market for another plus contract guy. PG-13, Paul George, has been in a lot of rumors. I, myself, I kind of see it like the Harden thing. Like, you know, you're going to get a guy past his prime. He's oft injured. What are you thinking about the Paul George rumors?
I don't think he wants anything to do with coming to Philly unless he doesn't have any max contract offers and the Sixers would be the only one to do it. You know, like I think all else being equal, he wants to stay in L.A. Orlando has money. They could possibly be interested in him. And honestly, like, do they really need to add a quote-unquote another star on the team, a guy that, you know, like, he's been a good NBA player, but is he the difference between losing in the second round again and winning an NBA championship? No, he's not. I think Daryl Morey and the Sixers have to kind of look at this differently. Let's look at what the Knicks did, right? Like, the Knicks didn't try to build a super team. They end up getting a super player in Jalen Brunson, but they just have guys that know how to play and can win. We'll see what they can do going forward, but I have very little interest in Paul George in Philadelphia.
That's actually a good point, because the way teams are built now, and Steve and I were just talking about parity earlier, you think it's better if they fill out the roster with maybe two or three good guys instead of like one star?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's not going to happen. They need LeBron. If they're going to win a title, they need LeBron. LeBron is exactly what this team needs, which is somebody that's going to run the offense. And Joel Embiid is a loser. And when I say that, I don't mean like he's a loser. He just doesn't know how to win. He's never won. This team's never been out of the second round of the playoffs, which is incredible to think. So Joel Embiid, he's a center. He doesn't have the ball in his hand, like a wing player or a guard would have. They need somebody that really can come in and can be like, hey, listen, Embiid, you're the MVP. You're a star player. Maxie, you're an up-and-coming young star, but you know, like, I know how to win. I'm a veteran. I'm not going to let us lose. The 76ers, too much, especially in the playoffs, they just lose. Right. And you need a guy that doesn't want to lose, and the Sixers don't have that guy.
Joel Embiid, though, I mean, if you put anything into the injuries, because, I mean, the guy's always injured, and you never know what exactly he would do if he was 100%, because it seems like in the playoffs he's always injured. Do you have any take on if maybe they had a guy to take some pressure off of Joel Embiid, maybe he'd be healthier?
Yeah, it's kind of just what you live with when you have Joel Embiid, is that the likelihood of a 7'2", 280, 300-pound guy that is as talented as any player I've ever seen come through the city of Philadelphia is just that he gets banged up, whether it's his knee, he hit an orbital break in his face before, he's had a thumb, he's had knees, he's had ankles, he's had everything else. You can't rely on Embiid to save your team. Because if you're going to do that, he's not going to be able to do it. Yeah, he needs like not a co-star that's going to score 25 or 30 points a game. So I think Maxie can score 25 points a game, but a guy in the playoffs that they can really look at, and he can be like, listen, jump on my back, because I gotcha.
Paul George, one of the biggest names in, we'll call it free agency. It'll be a sign and trade if he opts in on his deal on Saturday. John Marks is a Philly radio guy. You can find him on Twitter at John Marks Media. I want to go back to what you said almost right out of the gates on Paul George. Paul George doesn't want to come to Philly. What does that mean?
Philadelphia, as far as an NBA city, is not a destination city. I would say the same thing about Boston, right? Like, and when guys have options in the NBA, most of the time guys have options. If they are getting max contracts, there's normally teams that are lining up to give them max contracts. And the Sixers are just far down on the list. I also don't know if Joel Embiid is a player that is out networking and trying to get other players to come and be like, hey, listen, join me. Come to Philly. We can win something, right? He's not a recruiter. He's never been. Joel Embiid's a great player. I don't think he's a great leader. And he's definitely not, like, he's kind of a loner. He keeps to himself, super talented. But he lacks that kind of leadership skill that you see in a lot of great players. So So, and like, it's not South Beach, not California. It's a city that we're very intense with our sports. And if guys have choices of going somewhere, they're going to go make $40 or $50 million elsewhere, where they're not going to be criticized and under a microscope all the time.
John Marks is with us. I thought you were kind of hinting at the toughness of the city, and sort of what happened to Tobias Harris. And Harris is not the player that Paul George is, but by the end of this run with Harris, I mean, it seemed like the city was like, we hate this freaking guy. He's enemy number one.
I mean, and it's actually the – when I say that if guys have options for max contracts, they're probably not going to pick Philly. Tobias Harris didn't have any options for – any other options for max contracts, and that's why he chose Philly, right? They maxed him out. But, I mean, Tobias Harris was the fourth best player on the team with a max contract, and he didn't live up to it. The Sixers didn't live up to expectations. He was supposed to be one of the pieces that was supposed to take him over the top, and he didn't. And yeah, by the end, he didn't score in this final game as a 76er. He didn't score a point, which is pretty hard to do in the NBA. So it's definitely time to move on. He'll go be a rotational player somewhere else. But that was a bad contract. That was a disaster.
John, the Phillies started out kicking ass in the beginning of the season. They've kind of, had some outfield problems with hitting or whatever coming on. But Bryce Harper in line maybe to win an MVP, another one. The Phillies haven't won a World Series since 2008. Is Harper like on the cusp, if they can finish this off, at maybe becoming like a Mount Rushmore Philly guy already?
Yeah, I think he's there, honestly, dude. You're right. He will need a championship to kind of put him up to a certain level, right?
Yeah.
But when you look at Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, all those players right there, the Phillies have an unofficial policy about retiring their players' numbers. They have to be Hall of Famers. So a guy like Ryan Howard or Jimmy Rollins or Chase Utley, who most likely are making the Hall of Fame, maybe Jimmy or Chase get in, I don't know if they're going to have their number retired. So while they won a championship and they were part of one of the greatest eras in Phillies baseball, they're only on that certain level. Bryce Harper will be past that. Bryce Harper has came into this city, and I've never seen anything like it in my almost 50 years of being on this earth, and probably my 40 years of being a Philadelphia sports fan. He's just everything that he's done, from his play on the field to his leadership to how he's really embraced being the guy in Philadelphia, and it comes so natural to him. He's been amazing. So, I mean, he is, like, if you're ranking right now the top athletes in the city, it's Bryce Harper and it's everybody else. And if Jalen Hurts wins the Super Bowl, maybe that changes. But right now, this is Bryce Harper City, and he's having another great year. He has been amazing this year.
Speaking of the Eagles, I have to bring this up because I used to love going out. I lived in Bethlehem for a long time, King of Prussia, and I used to go to a lot of these training camps, and I miss kind of when they used to have it up in Bethlehem. It was so cool to be so close to the players. You see all these videos of Saquon working out. The guy's quads are like a Honda Civic. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know. So do you think behind this line and with their offense, and you got Hurts, and you got, Devontae, you got AJ, all these guys, you got a tight end, Dallas.
Goddard.
Total brain fart. Sorry, I was all fired up. But, yeah, so, I mean, do you think behind that line he has any chance of being like a McCaffrey-type player for the Eagles this year?
Yeah, you're hearing McCaffrey talk like he could be the Eagles' McCaffrey. And remember, I remember when San Francisco traded for McCaffrey, my reaction was, the hell is John Lynch doing? Guys have been healthy in years, right?
Yeah.
And then you see what he's done since then. He's changed their franchise. He's an amazing weapon. So here's what I'll say. Barkley is as important as the Eagles use him. And I think nationally the thing that's not being talked about with the Eagles in the offseason is bringing in Kellen Moore as their offensive coordinator. They got pass happy last year. Jalen Hurts was getting pressured. Here's what happened with the Eagles. Here's where they went in the toilet. The league started blitzing Jalen Hurts, and they didn't have an answer for it.
Absolutely.
And even when there wasn't pressure on Jalen Hurts, he was sensing pressure that wasn't there. So he was bailing, and he wasn't seeing the field. He was seeing the rush, and it totally killed the offense. So the Eagles went into the offseason and said, how do we get back to the 2022 Jalen Hurts that went to the Super Bowl and that was amazing? You got to run the football. He can't be dropping back 45 or 50 times a game. It's bad. He's not that kind of quarterback. So now you get a guy that comes in as an offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore who likes to run the football, that will run the football. You bring in Saquon Barkley. So everything the Eagles really did in the offseason was to get back to what they did the best. When the Eagles were at their best, they could run the football better than anybody in the NFL, and I think that's what they're trying to do this year.
Man, it's killing me right now thinking about that. I remember Jalen just running out to the end zone. The sideline, throwing it out every time they blitz, and they didn't even try to fix it. And then they tried the bubble screens over and over again, and one of them got intercepted. I mean, I swear I almost threw a chair through my window. But I got to ask you about motion, because last year they were last in motion. They bring Kellen Moore in. Obviously, they're going to do more of that. How is that going to open it up for Devontae? Because I feel like he's kind of underutilized.
Yeah, it was painful to watch the end of the season. They were last in motion. I think Kellen Moore was top five. So yeah, you're going to get better looks. I think you're going to see a more efficient offense as far as the passing game. And I'm talking about all this run. They have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and both of these guys are probably going to have 1,200-plus yards, and Jalen Hurts is going to throw for nearly 4,000 yards. If I was making a prediction on offensive players, I would say Devontae Smith. Not that it would be a breakout year, because he's already an above average to a Pro Bowl wide receiver, but I think he's the guy that kind of takes that. Everybody says, wow, Devontae Smith, like, wow, what a big season. So I'm definitely high on Devontae this year.
John, last minute here. Tell us what you've got cooking here with your show. And I know it's mostly video based now, so really good numbers on it. Out of the Parks with John Marks.
I got nothing cooking, man.
Yeah, you do. No, good. It's good content.
My wife had to go back to work. She pissed at me. Three kids.
You deserve
it. It's tough. Yeah, so I'm doing some digital stuff with a casino here in the Philadelphia area. Nice. And I'm doing stuff on YouTube. You can check me out on YouTube. Subscribe. It's at John, J-O-N, Marks, M-A-R-K-S Media. A couple nights a week doing that, and then doing my digital stuff with the casino. And, like, I'm going on vacation. I'm going down the shore in July. And when I come back from the shore, I'm going to decide what I'm doing.
We got, like, 15 left. Where do you go down the shore?
Ocean City, New Jersey.
Oh, look at you. You don't drink. What the hell's going on here? Dry. I'm out.
Yeah, you can go to the town and then town over and go to Atlantic City. We can
there
drink.
You go. Good. All right, John. Good catching up with you. We want to get you on more often. Glad you're doing well.
Yeah,
see you, buddy.
Thanks, Steve.
There he is. John Marks. Philadelphia radio dude. Check him out up on Twitter at John Marks Media.